Let us gather before the face of God this afternoon in full expectation, believing and trusting that He is present to confirm His word and fulfill His promises. Before we pray, let us read from Jeremiah chapter 17 a few verses. Jeremiah chapter 17 from verse 12. Perhaps I may ask that we stand up for it. Jeremiah chapter 17 from verse 12. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Denn verlassen haben sie den Brunnquell lebendigen Wassers, den Herrn. Heile mich,
heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. Let us become still for prayer. Heavenly Father, together we come before your holy face, O God, and that in faith, in the name that is above all names, in the name of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and ask for your presence and for your blessing, for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Give grace to speak and grace to hear. Take away from us every spirit that is not of God, every spell you would lift, every curse you would break, every sickness you would heal, every sinner you would save, and reveal yourself in our midst as the same yesterday, today, and forever. May you work perfect faith in us through your perfect word by grace. We place ourselves in this service and the whole room under the covering of the blood of the Lamb and ask you, Lord, have thy victory, O Lord, and manifest thyself in your power and glory. Thank you that you have touched my body and made my soul well. I thank you for this. May all my brothers and sisters take courage and know that you live and stand by your word, and that you reveal yourself to them who put their trust in you. I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. As we sing this chorus, we can't help but think of what God has done in our generation, and in a very special way through the ministry of Brother Branham, in which before every service, all over the world, in every country, in every nation, this chorus was sung. And the glorious thing was that afterwards faith came from hearing the word, and God could confirm his word. And I've had to think a lot lately about how we can give God the opportunity to confirm his word after the sermon, that we don't go home after hearing the word, but give him the opportunity to confirm his word. It came into my heart, and I hope it is the Spirit of God who leads me like that. I was thinking of closing that part of the service after the preaching, and then that the rest, all those who have time, who want to pray, and all the sick and suffering can stay behind, so that we can go through the rows to pray for the sick. I am just so led not to put on a show on the platform, but to go down and pray with those who have the desire. And I'm convinced God will confirm his word and fulfill his promise. I have waited a very long time to know inwardly what is to be done and how it is to be done. It is not enough to know that you have been given the task of praying for the sick, but there must also be clarity about the way in which it is to be done. And everyone may be led differently, but I strictly want the Lord to be the only one who wants to be honored and glorified through everything God does. And when we have reached the point where this atmosphere of faith has taken possession of us, and we no longer have to force ourselves into anything, but are moved into this living, perfect faith under the preaching, then all things are possible to him who believes. But if we still have to help, then somehow it has not been enough to bring us to the point where God can already confirm the word. You know, in the ministry of Brother Branham, there was something very powerful. The Lord had given him the special gift of building up the faith of the people after the sermon by telling them, by revelation, where they come from, who they are, what illness they have. And it was precisely this gift of divine revelation that spontaneously brought the faith of those who came to prayer from one moment to the next, to this climax in which all things were possible. But then Brother Branham made the statement, he said, God has given me this gift because I have not been able by preaching to bring people to the point where faith can come to this climax. But then he said, if someone is called by God to bring faith to this climax through preaching, then the same things are possible and the same things can happen. I see myself unable to build up faith like that in preaching, but I believe that God, through a foolish sermon, can work living faith in your heart and in mine, and that faith reaches a climax where all things become possible and we can actually behold the glory of God. You know, God does not lead such deep ways in vain. What all this means for my life, no one can understand unless he has been led similar ways. But I'm grateful to the Lord God with all my heart, and I only wish that he blesses us together and with us all those who love his appearing, who have believed his message, who follow him wherever he leads in this time. If some of you are here today for the first time, we welcome you in a special way and wish you God's blessing with all our hearts. And also to all those who will hear this sermon, whether in Switzerland, whether in Austria, or in Germany, Eastern Europe, wherever these speeches go, may God bless everyone under the sound of the word and meet them. I would like to briefly touch on a few thoughts from this word from the prophet Jeremiah and then move on to the New Testament. Here, the prophet, who also had to go through many depths, expresses what the Spirit of God inspired him. And especially verse 16 touched my heart. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. It is precisely this statement that moved me very much. Here the prophet does not say, in my service, but he speaks to God in your service. God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. They are not in their service, but in the service of God, to build up the church and make it capable so that she can walk forward in faith. And especially in this time, when it speaks here now of the office of the pastor, as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. You know, sometimes believers take the view that whoever has become a believer, that nothing affects him anymore, that they are carried above the hills, that they float above the clouds. But when you see the trials and the deep ways of the men of God and the people of God, then God was just testing their faith as it went through the depths. And also the prophet Jeremiah had to go through this. Whoever has read this story, or Jeremiah in general, he knows what it was about, so that he even cursed the day on which he was born. This we read in chapter 20, from verse 14. Here it is written, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed." Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, "A man-child is born unto thee," making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew, and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning, and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. So we see that this prophet, of whom it is written in chapter 1, perhaps we should read this for comparison, for here the Lord addresses him in a most wonderful way. After all, it was he who said, "I am still too young." Let us read Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Hereupon you can say a hallelujah. The Lord God called this Jeremiah, and we see that he had a special commission for the nations, and he was reluctant to go. And we realize later that the way of God is combined with great difficulties, that it goes through the deepest deep. A man who had such a glorious calling comes to a state of despair, that he has to exclaim, "The day I was born, May it remain unblessed. What was it? He expressed his cry of the heart in the deepest affliction. But that was not the end. If we read on, we find God brought him out of all these trials in a wonderful way, blessed him anew, strengthened him, and set him again to be a blessing by grace. One thought that is very important here in chapter 17, that relates to the New Testament, to what our Savior has done, is here in Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth. You all know, when one day some men came before our Lord and brought a charge, he bowed down and simply wrote in the sand, in the dust. He wrote in the sand the names of those who had fallen away from him. And when he rose up, he asked the woman who had been accused, "Where are all your accusers now?" And she said, "They have all gone away." And then the Lord said, "I also do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." You know, already in the Old Testament, whether in Moses, whether in the prophets or Psalms, everywhere there is already a part of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. As I have often said, the Lord Jesus and the apostles did not have a New Testament to preach from. They had to take the Old Testament to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, we could think of so many scriptures in the Old Testament, but let us go over to the New, and that is to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And here, consider this chapter carefully in order to let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts through it. 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Let us stop at this verse. The apostle addresses his letter by the Spirit to his co-worker, back then to Timothy. Today this word is addressed to you and me. Here we are told to understand the words, and then he expresses the thought, the Lord will give thee understanding in all things, not only in one thing, not only in one case, but the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. So, for those who follow the Lord, there is not a single case that has been left out about which the Lord will not give us right insight and right understanding at the right time by grace. Let us read on from verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul was not addressing the called, he was addressing the elect. He saw his ministry as addressed to the elect, to those predestined by God before the foundation of the world. It was for them that the profound mysteries of the Word were intended. They had access to the Holy of Holies. They had access and insight into what God gave then by grace. Today, this word applies to us. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes. I ask you, for what purpose was the end time message sent? To whom is it addressed? Who will receive it? Who believes the revealed Word of God? Is it not only those to whom God has opened the heart, whom He has drawn to Himself, whom He has seen and loved before the foundation of the world? Only those whom He first loved can love Him in return, in His divine love. Everything else is lip service, but there, where the message given by God is received, it is not only to make our calling sure, but also our election, and that by grace. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I can't help but believe that God sent the messengers with a message, and that in every age, according to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, it was only those who had an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying to the churches. Only to them has God opened the heart. They received, they accepted message and messenger. All others passed by. Only to them is the promise addressed. He that overcometh, not the called, but the elect, will be among the overcomers and will have part in the first resurrection. And it is written, they overcame through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony and did not love their lives. Brother, sister, perhaps the time has already come for me to give up my life and let everything pass over me, so that nothing remains of what I could be, so that Christ may take form, and not that man should be seen, and not that we should look up to a man, but that we should hear and see God, according to the scripture in the Gospel of John 17, probably, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw no one but Jesus alone. They no longer looked to Moses and Elijah. They saw only the one of whom Moses and Elijah had spoken. And so it must be with us now in the end. You can forget me, but remember the Lord and His word that He has spoken. For His word is sure and certain, and we believe that God has confirmed it and sealed it in the hearts of His disciples. The prophet Isaiah cries out, "Seal the prophecy in the heart of your disciples." That which God has revealed through the seals is sealed by the Holy Spirit in your heart and in my heart, and no one can take it out again from you and from me. Oh, the thoughts of God are just so deep and wonderful. Verse 11 states, "Reliable is the word." Yes, certainly, no one needs to put a question mark behind it. It is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him." So, only he who has died can live. In our earthly concept, we would say, yes, the dead person is no longer alive, he has died, so that he can no longer live. But we know what it is about here. Whoever has died to himself, whoever can give the old man into death with Christ, will be raised with Christ to a new life by grace. If we have died with Christ, we have also been raised with Him to a new life. Hence, this precious word here, "For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him." If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. It is written in James 5 of Job's steadfast endurance. Here we read, "If we endure," and let us be honest with each other today. One day, this one is low at the bottom, and then the other. And we need fellowship with one another to build us up again, to strengthen us in our faith. We also need to reflect on this. I sometimes think that all those who are scattered are especially on my heart, who have no one to talk to, and they tell it to the Lord. But how good it is when someone has confidence, a sister to a sister, a brother to a brother, and when you can say, "Listen, I'm deep at the bottom," and then the brother or sister will surely have a few words of comfort, of upliftment and encouragement, and suddenly we realize what it means. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I know what it means. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. After my illness, where my knees collapsed under me and my hands sank down and I could no longer use them. I know how grateful a person is again, whose knees are strengthened and whose hands are lifted up. And to this, God wants to use us for one another, to make our fellowship more intimate. Then it says here, "If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are unfaithful, yet He abideth faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." Isn't that a wonderful word? Even if somehow there should be a period of unfaithfulness, God on His part cannot break faithfulness. He keeps his covenant forever, which he made on the cross of Calvary with his own, through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God will give us faithful hearts. He will give us steadfast endurance by grace, so that we can go forward. We read from verse 14, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." This is also a word spoken by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of this great apostle, that before the face of God we should not engage in any argument about any words that lead to nothing but to the destruction of the hearers, instead of leaving everything to God and wait for the time and then see what outcome and what end God will give to a matter. You all know, at a halftime, whoever watches a soccer match, he cannot draw a final conclusion at halftime. You have to be able to wait until the end to have an overall judgment. And so we too must be patient, and that which God does not reveal to you or to me will remain unclear to you and to me. That which I want to impose on you or you on me in terms of conviction, that is an intellectual thing. Only the Holy Spirit searches out even the deepest mysteries of God and reveals them to you and me. Then we will have been taught by God. Then no one will say, "Yes, that's what Brother Frank preached there in Zurich." Then it's not Brother Frank who preached there. Then it's the Holy Spirit who makes the word in your heart a living revelation by grace. And as the Holy Scripture says here, that such things only leads to the destruction of the hearers. We read on in verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Or, as the German Bible says, presents it rightly. Both are right. Rightly presenting and rightly dividing the word of truth. This is very important. I am writing or have written a very short circular letter, which is now attached to the coming sermon. It is one of the hardest sermons that Brother Branham has preached, and I want to say it here today in advance. All that, what you may probably not understand, leave it and wait until God reveals it. But while I was thinking about it, the Lord gave me a very wonderful comparison between Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 10. Both chapters speak of the same book, and Brother Branham calls it the book of redemption, because the names of those who were chosen before the foundation of the world and redeemed at Calvary are written in it. And actually, the whole plan of redemption was made known through the opening of the seals. But In Revelation 5, the book is still sealed. It is first taken. The seals are broken. It is opened. The contents are revealed. And then when Brother Branham somewhere makes the statement, when the Lamb took the book, the time came to an end. Then you have to be careful and not just think, wait a minute, yes, then since Revelation 5, since the seals were opened, then since then the time of grace is over. No, we cannot think like that. We have to understand that later the Lord, as the angel of the covenant, takes the open book and comes down and puts one foot on the land and the other foot on the sea and lifts up his hand and says, henceforth there shall be no more time. That is not Revelation 5. That is Revelation 10. And we have to let all things be where they are written and in the context. If we don't, we mess up God's program. And there is enough of that already. And we know one thing, confusion never comes from God. From God comes divine order, divine placing. And I tell you, it's not my doing. It's not things I think about. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God speaks, open the Bible, read. And I open the Bible and I read. And then I see the connections. And I just wished I could pass it on to all brothers and all sisters in that divine clarity. I can only say it. The clarity only God can give. But I'm convinced that He will give it. I simply believe that the bride church will come into lockstep that Brother Branham was talking about. But then he saw this bride that was taken out of step or had gotten out of step being brought back into step. And since the Spirit of God brought this to my attention and pointed me directly to only translate the sermons after the opening of the seals from then on, I have the assurance in my heart that God is bringing the bride church back into the lockstep that she had fallen out of. For surely it has not escaped your notice that many have done and will continue to do what seems good to them without being called by God to do so. But somehow, with His own plan that He has with the bride church, God must continue on His way, and that to the end. And this lockstep we are brought into. We read the same sermons. We delve into them. We ask God for grace and for understanding. And at the same time, we are enlightened and led into the deepest things that were hidden from us before. But through the Spirit, that what Brother Branham was given by God through revelation, we get it revealed in the same way, through the same Holy Spirit. And that is a most wonderful thing. Here it goes on, in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker. You all know, I have seen people with leprosy. I have seen people with cancer. And cancer is a terrible thing. It eats away. And here, people who have a talk that is not godly are being compared to a cancer that is eating away and that is actually destroying. This is not addressed to unbelievers. This is addressed to believers. Today, to you and to me. And I'm convinced that God gives us grace also to accept admonition and rebuke as we accept instruction and prophetic revelation of the Word. So we also accept rebuke and admonition by the grace of God. Every conversation, if it is not conducted in peace, if it is not conducted with the right intention, it ends in a quarrel. And who is helped by this? Not a single one. On the contrary, destruction, hatred creeps in, and many things are revealed. But God wants to save us from all this. He wants to make people out of us who believe His word from the heart and who leave the other to God and know that when the time comes, He will reveal it. Then we read from verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Isn't that wonderful? In spite of everything, in spite of all the talk that spreads like a cancer, in spite of everything that people do without knowing that they are motivated by another spirit, the foundation of God standeth sure. That which God has founded, no one can overturn. What He has done is done forever. We read in Jeremiah 17, "Heal me, Lord, and then I am healed. Help me, then I am helped." And we could go on and say, "Speak to me, then I have been spoken to. Reveal it to me, and then it is revealed to me." We could continue here, and we know that all things have been given to us by grace from God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Not the foundation laid by me or you, but the foundation laid by God. Nevertheless standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I may well add here, from the Gospel of John, probably, or the letter of John, "and his own know him." You know, when one meets and encounters one another, it becomes an acquaintance. You get to know each other. If he knows you, then you know him. Then there is a friendship. And we sing in a song, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. The Lord knows his own. He knows you, he knows me." Then it goes on to say, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And then comes verse 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Now hear what is coming. "If a man therefore purge himself from these," so from the things it was spoken of, If one purges himself from these, then he shall be a vessel unto honor. If we keep away from everything that spreads like a cancer, from all the babblings that results in strife, from everything that is unfruitful, then we belong to the vessels, as it is written here. It is so precious that I want to read it again. If a man therefore, 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So it is up to you and me whether we are a precious vessel of God, not filled with all kinds of things that run over, but a vessel that comes into the presence of God, emptied, to be filled by Him and then used. He who is pure from all these things, that is completely pure, which means he has nothing to do with them at all, he will be a vessel unto honor, a sanctified vessel, meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now tell me, is this not a glorious promise? If we keep ourselves pure from all that is not of God, by the grace of God, then we have a glorious promise of being filled as a vessel. As a hymn writer sings, only vessels, Holy Master, yet filled with your power. But when we are filled with all the babblings, with all kinds of things, that it just bubbles and overflows, let me tell you, even if we are in the household of God, and we are a vessel, of dishonor, wooden, good for nothing. But if we would become a vessel for God to fill and use, then we must keep ourselves, here is the word, perfectly pure, you know, even as vessels in the household of God, we must be careful what these vessels are filled with. It's not just the vessel that matters. It is what is put into the vessel that matters. And you can fill a vessel completely with water, pure water, and put just one drop of poison in it, and all the water is poisoned. Hear this, children of God, people of the Lord. It is not enough to be a vessel in the house of God. What matters is that we, by the grace of God, keep ourselves completely pure from everything that spreads and eats like a cancer, and people are literally eaten away before our eyes, decomposed. They can no longer help themselves. Precious vessels are decomposed when the cancer gets into them. And here it says, such babbling is like a cancer that eats everything away. And you all know, what a cancer seizes, humanly seen, there is no hope. But God has counsel even against death. And whoever is guilty of anything, I and you, all of us, can come to the Lord today and say, oh God, I didn't mean it. I know I'm a vessel, but have not kept that vessel pure. And I want to come to you now. Have mercy on me and help me. I tell you, God will hear our cry. He will come to his throne and he will make of us vessels, which he will use, which he will fill, which will keep themselves perfectly pure before him. What a wonderful word! If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That is what I want to be. That is what you want to become. Here God has shown us the way. The way has been shown to me and to you today. How we can get there as individuals and as a whole church. That he can fill us as his vessels and use us for honorable purposes, which are suitable for him, to put them in his service, and that he can bless, fill, and use them. Just vessels. But that's not what matters. What matters is what those vessels are filled with. What are you filled with today? What am I filled with today? What is overflowing in you? What is overflowing in me? What is the main thing in your life and in mine? In your heart and in mine? You all know, our Savior probably said it, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Oh, would God have mercy on us in this serious and final time in which we have arrived, and we are no longer fooling ourselves. Time is short. Time is running out. And we don't want to go into anything else today. Somehow, I was thinking of talking about something else before, about prophecy. But at the airport, when I opened the Bible and just read, I came across this word. I didn't look for it at home. I just read it here at the airport. And it spoke to my heart in such a way that I just said, Lord, I bring it to your people and I leave the rest to you. Now it's off my shoulder. I didn't write the word. I just read it out, and it is my wish, and may it be the wish and prayer of us all. O God, keep me pure, give me the grace to be kept completely pure from everything, to be a vessel unto honor, a sanctified vessel, meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Wouldn't that be nice if you and I could become such vessels of our God, and the Holy Spirit could fall, and we could experience the glory of God together? May God bring us into this lockstep. May he reveal his will to us and confirm his word and fulfill his promises by grace, which he has not only given to us, but has set before us anew in this last time. We know what it is about now. It's about the fulfillment of everything that is still outstanding, that belongs to God's plan of salvation and must be completed in this time. Also the work with the church must come to a completion, and that will be shortly. We have always refrained from committing ourselves to a time and will not do so in the future. But one thing is certain, the Lord is coming soon. May he make of you and of me, of all of us such vessels as can be kept perfectly pure, to be filled for honorable use in the house of our God. And through this, His name will be honored by grace. Amen. Let us stand and pray together. The sin atoned. The chastisement was laid on you, that we might have peace. And by your stripes we are healed. I thank thee for this. Savior, pass now through our ranks. O Lord, first we remember those who need forgiveness of sins, and we join with them, O Lord. For also we come to you daily and ask you, as you taught in the Lord's Prayer, that you may forgive us as we forgive others. Now we want to pray for all who want to dedicate their lives to you and receive the assurance of the forgiveness of their sins and the testimony of the Spirit that you have redeemed them and called them by name. Faithful God, reveal it to every heart to which thou hast spoken, that as surely as thou, the Son of God, didst shed thy blood on the cross of Calvary, so surely is their sin atoned for and their guilt forgiven. O God, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The good news that the sinner need not to die in his sin because Christ died for him. No, he should look to Golgotha, and whoever sees Jesus on the cross in faith will be saved at the same hour, as it says in a German song. We pray now for all who accept the forgiveness of their sins in faith. Grant the certainty in their hearts that it is a completed work of redemption. Hallelujah! To your wonderful and holy name, faithful God, in the same way, we pray for all who have physical needs, who need healing of their bodies. May they too look up to the cross and see your bruised body, your stripes that were beaten upon you. You were smitten in your body, that we might be healed of our bodily diseases and infirmities. O faithful Lord, make the work of redemption alive to us once more in all clarity, O God. Savior, I pray thee, and all who are possessed in their spirits by other spirits or afflicted in any way, may they know that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary defeated the devil, hell and death. Lord, manifest the victory of Calvary in our midst today, to each one, after spirit, soul and body, to the glory and praise of your name. Confirm your word by signs and wonders following. Let it not return void, but may it accomplish what you have sent it to do. Today, let us honor you by faith. Give us this perfect faith that comes from your perfect word, in your perfect working through your Holy Spirit in this hour, in our midst. Hallelujah. I thank thee for this, and I glorify the power of thy blood, of thy word, and of thy spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, that is at work by your grace, for the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.